That touched a few hearts, and where they were instructed to do laps around the wall for 7 laps, it was basically. So you were on the sixth lap, were you?
So, no, not just me, it's like all of us. Like,
go for it. So there you go. So there's a strong impression. And we're talking about if you had a quit, weren't we, on the sixth lap, you would have seen nothing. But if you kept going around that seventh lap, those walls would have come down. And that was really the cut and thrust that, you know, we were on about and what I want to go, only just for a few minutes today, that if you knew that breakthrough that Ruthie was talking about, and if we could all set our watches by the fact that Ruth's breakthrough was coming in 7 days' time at 10 o'clock in the morning, wouldn't life be so much easier for the next week? It'd be really worth getting up to go to work tomorrow morning and to be there at 9:30. And all of that stuff would start to fall into place. And as you can sort of understand, God doesn't want you simply trusting on your senses and your feelings. He wants you to trust in Him. And that's what you've got to hold to. And you might say, oh, Ruth said the breakthrough is coming. And we don't know when that breakthrough is coming. And that's the big issue with it. We don't know. But it will come if you believe. If you stretch out a little bit your faith, it will come. And I will say today, and add a little bit in there, if you face your enemy and learn to face your enemy, whatever the enemy may be, that could be financial lack. That's pretty common. It could be family relationships. I'm not talking about, you know, somebody hanging over the back fence and throwing rocks at you. I'm talking about some of those everyday crisis things. It can be a health crisis. But if you can possibly learn to worship in the face of that attack, how do you worship? I don't know how to worship, you might say. You need to ask us after we finish here, or ask someone, how do you worship in the privacy of your own home? And when these attacks come, whatever they may be, and how broad those attacks may be, you'll find that you will push the devil till he has to go look for his medicine cabinet. He cannot stand people praising God in the midst of an attack. The attacks you're facing today, and I said this a couple of weeks ago as well, it's a bit like what Ruth confirmed, the attacks you're facing today are forming in your life the weapons of tomorrow.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's those weapons of tomorrow, which will be godly weapons, that you will be able to apply in your life and use in your life until the victory is had. I'd like to speak to you for a short while longer, or preach to you today, like we're all real people. So often we get into situations like this, and we all sort of like to act like some super Christians. And then sometimes those people that are outside of the faith, I suppose we could call them non-Christians or non-believers, get the wrong idea of what we're up to. They sort of get the wrong idea of church. They get the wrong idea of the activities of church. And they'll even come up with things like, oh, it's all a matter of imagination. They're imagining these things. And that's a pretty common pathway for some people to take. It's a pretty common pathway for some people to take. But I think we have to grow spiritually. And on the other hand, the invisible can be more real than those things we can sense around us. It's a bit like I said about those walls of Jericho and how many laps you're doing, how many repetitions you're doing, whether it be in prayer or whatever. However, in these situations, the things we sense around us, you see things that are not working out quite right around us. We start to say, hey, this is not too good. This is not right. And our senses then, you know, what we hear, what we see, what we smell, all of those senses start to override what we've been talking about, the invisible, the faith aspect. It overrides the faith aspect. You're sort of saying that faith can override all of that stuff, and what I am saying is yes. No matter what happens, faith can override all of that and will override all of that, provided that you are prepared to persist. Now, the interesting thing is I sort of say that, and I use the phrase, the greater the faith, the greater the faith. The trouble is when you step out with the greater the faith, you can be headed down a pathway for the greater disappointment. Sometimes there's a few hiccups and a few things backfire along the way. It's not all smooth sailing. We wish it would be smooth sailing. And if you're really seeking the Lord fervently and believing for a breakthrough, and a breakthrough could be at hand, and sometimes when it just doesn't quite get there, you could be on a threshold of what you'd sort of say a disappointment spiritually. And they're things that we've got to be somewhat careful of. Where there is faith, there is expectation in your life. I slowed that down a little bit. Where there is faith, there is expectation. You've got to have expectation. Huh. What expectation? Well, think of maybe your families and what you'd like God to do in the midst of your family situation. All right, we will talk finances for a moment in a general term. What would you like God to do financially around you? And the moment you get into there, and I'm brushing this quickly, there are laws of finance in the kingdom of God. There are specific laws. And some people kind of think, oh, yeah, God will fix this up. Yeah, and I say he'll fix it up provided you're following what his word says to do regarding your finance, not what Lindsay Birch says and makes it up. And sometimes that's pretty hard to follow financially. But if you do, things will do an incredible about face. I can remember, and a lot of you people never saw me when I smoked cigarettes.
No.
But I could put the best of you to shame, couldn't I, Robin? What would I smoke a day?
5 packets of Marlboro Gold a day.
I was. heavily involved in race horses and stud farms and stallions and all of that, and up all night with mares foaling, and we had mares on our property in the foaling barn and belonging to a Mrs. Myers, a Mrs. Holt. Now, we're not talking about the idiots of the breeding profession. You know, we're Myers. You've heard of Myers. They've got stores everywhere. And anyway, she was a rotten woman too, wasn't she? She was not nice at all. But in all of that, I had to... And then I had one client who was a doctor, and he got pills in from Germany that I had to take that allowed me to smoke to keep me alive. So I had these German pills, and he said to Robin, I can go out the back door, and they only had to listen for 30 seconds and they knew exactly where I was in this barn that we were in. It was absolutely huge. At any rate, God had to do a number on... any rate, we got... that was another thing, but there was... struggling always on finances, and God had to deal with me, and I was coming to that point, and this is why I'm just sort of touching on that again. And I was out the river one day sitting in my car, and the Lord said, you're burning my tithe. Tithe is 10%. I'm not going to teach on that. You're burning it. At any rate, I got home, as I did with a bit of stuff, and I calculated it. Back then, cigarettes were a lot cheaper than what they are now, I'm telling you. And I think it came to about $72.40 or something. And then I worked out the tithe on my income, and it was $72.40. And I was smoking it. So I quickly gave them up just like that. Came in, didn't I? And, yeah. And I can tell you heaps of stories about that. But it was a lot of fun. It was good when I gave it up. But we really need to get a hold of a lot of this. And these expectations that we have, and the amount of faith that we have to apply to it. And I want to sort of say that God is already working out what you are worrying about today. Yeah. God is already working out what you are already worrying about here today. And you could say, with me, say this with me, my angel is already on the way. And you need to believe that. Yeah, you need to believe that your angel is already on the way, and that God is working on a solution for you. It's not will he or won't he, he's working on it. We're real people. I said I wanted to talk to you on a real down-to-earth way today. And sometimes we face despair, heartbreak. You could be in the midst of despair. You could be in the midst of sadness and anxiety. So God wants you to really hear these few words here this morning. Maybe you've been brought to tears before God because you felt like a failure over the years. I hit the pause button then. Brought to tears, you're before God and you felt like nothing more than a failure. You felt all alone. and that I don't have enough strength to do what I'm supposed to do. I know this is touching hearts here this morning because I can sense it in the room. I want to tell you about a group of women who had the strength to go to the place where their dream died and to do the best with what they had. And I want you to sort of use this as a stepping stone here this morning. They had nothing else other than a little bit of strength to go to the very place where their dream had died. Their dream was gone. Talk about failures, talk about despair. But they took what they had with them, and it didn't seem really much. But they were going to take that very little that they had to do the best they could before the Lord. Can I have that overhead, please, Travis?
I'm waiting.
I guess we could say and really entitle this Enter the Spice Girls. Say that with me. Enter the Spice Girls. Say that with me. Enter the Spice Girls. And when the Sabbath was past, that is, after the sun had set, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, purchased sweet smelling spices so that they may go and anoint Jesus' body. Their dream had died. But what did those women do? Took their spices to go and do something for their Lord. And very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb, and by then the sun had risen. And they said to one another, as soon as they got to the tomb, who will roll back the stone for us of the groove across the floor at the door of the tomb? This would be a good Easter message, wouldn't it? Can I have the next page, Travis? And when they looked up, they distinctly saw that the stone had already rolled back, for it was very large. And going into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting there on the right side, clothed along in a stately, sweeping robe of white. And they were utterly amazed and struck with terror. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed and terrified. Are you looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified? He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but be going. Tell the disciples and Peter, he goes before you into Galilee. You will see him there just as I told you." This is a bit of a little indictment on the men. Where were the men in all of this? Where were the men? What did you say then? Oh dear. Even Pete was missing. And for that matter, the rest of them had gone. It was up to the Spice Girls to come for an answer. But the point that I really make, whether you're a Spice Girl or whether you're not a Spice Girl, use what the Lord has given you. Use even the small amount what the Lord has given you in service to Him. You don't have to draw crowds of 60,000 people or anything like that tomorrow. That might be next month. But grab a hold of the little one or two people around a cup of coffee, and you may be able to minister a miracle in their lives. It's as simple as that. So they went to where their dream had died, and I guess many have been to the place where their dream had died. Oh yeah. But you know, if you get to that point, that is where the power of God is at its greatest. The power of God is at its greatest. And you can kind of see in that passage of Scripture, God's power resurrected his son. So what was happening around that tomb was big time. Before our favourite Spice Girls even made it. Something special. I want to finish off with another scripture and do a little bit of ministry before we take a break for lunch. And I hope this sort of cuts in and encourages you. And remember, no matter where you find yourself, despair, anxiety, discouraged, all of them, make them into a family. Just when that bobs up, remember the Spice Girls. And if you can't remember them, remember Posh or whatever her name is. And this is a scripture that I use a lot around my prayer life and my life. And I did use it last week, and we skipped it fairly quickly last week. But it goes on to say, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Now that, as I pointed out to you last week, you will have weapons form against you. You will have weapons. A lot of people sort of take that as, oh, I won't have weapons formed against me. No, look, guys, you are going to have weapons formed against you. But the scripture here, the word of God says they won't prosper. They won't prosper. That's it. And every tongue that rises against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Powerful scripture, isn't it? This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. That is so strong for those that are probably already know where that comes from, Isaiah 54:17. Didn't want to do much more than that. Travis has got a clip that we want to put up, and I'll get around and do some ministry for those that want some where you're sitting. But I hope you got some little bit of encouragement out of that, and you become a Spice Girl. You look good as a Spice Girl, Alan. Thank you. We just have to watch out. Yeah. Have you got that clip happening? I might get your mate to turn the lights down. It's based on that scripture I just read out. And no weapon, I've never played it before. Shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Yeah. going to let that play. But no weapon formed against me shall prosper.